It's wonderful to be here, Chuck. Thank you.
Can you start us off and walk us through some of the basic plot?
Absolutely. It's really a romantic comedy, a romantic musical comedy. And it's about a woman who has a tendency to get sad. She's very sensitive. When she sees rain drops on a flower petal, she immediately becomes melancholy. When she sees light filter through a window a certain way, she becomes melancholy. And she works at a bank. She's a bank teller. And the bank sends her to a therapist because they don't feel like it's productive to have an employee who gets sad randomly through the day. Something tastes really delicious. She immediately starts to feel too many emotions. So they want her to go to the therapist and smooth it all out. And as she's going through this journey, all kinds of hijinks ensue. She meets the love of her life. The therapist falls in love with her. She goes to a hairdresser. She falls in love with her. So it's just about someone who is that in touch with their feelings, how attractive it actually is when you meet someone that open to sensation.
Well, let's listen to a quick clip from the musical. Could you set this up? Who's singing and where in the play are we?
Sure. This is about midway through. This is the wonderful Rachel Hantman who plays Tilly. We call it Tilly's aria.
And there's nowhere to put this great happiness. And then you're floating. And then you're falling. Then you just become unbearably sad, and you have to go lie down on the couch.
It's sort of her mission statement. She just talks about when she feels so emotional and connected and happy, and for her that immediately leads to a kind of melancholy.
But I suffer so well, and when a stranger sees me cry, they see.
Now, what I didn't realize about the play at first was that it was originally written as a stage play, not a musical. And it was done by Brown University alum and MacArthur Genius Grant winner Sarah Rule. So she went back and adapted the play and put in, or collaborated with Todd, I guess, and put in the music and the songs.
What she did is they talked, and then he kind of went away and he just started writing music. You know, the play was a very melodic, poetic, kind of joyful experience. And he just felt the music very palpably from reading it. And, you know, one of the things that they talk about is that there were some word changes, but he pretty much just wrote the music for the play as it existed. It was a very easy melding.
This is what Sarah had to say about the decision to adapt the piece to a fellow public radio station, WBEZ, in Chicago.
In a funny way, I think it helps the tone of the piece and the style of the piece because it's already so heightened. So for music to be underneath it just adds to that quality, I think.
So, Liesl, what is your take on the necessity of the music to tell the story?
When you work on musicals, the rule is when a character is talking about something, when their feelings are so heightened, they can no longer use language, they have to use song. They have to break out into song. And because this play is so much about emotions and about not being able to contain your happiness or contain your sadness, all of the songs feel completely justified. And, you know, the other thing that I think is so fascinating about Sarah's play and Sarah's point of view is she really is also making an argument for melancholy, for the middle ground, so that, you know, in America, people are really expected to be happy all the time. People do not have time for grief, for sadness. You kind of have to get over it is the expectation. You get a couple of days, but then you really need to move on and also not expose your friends and family to too much of it. And, you know, she talks about in the play that we acknowledge depression and there's medicine for that and there are therapists and doctors for that. But what if you are a person that just is sensitive and is easily moved and sometimes is sad as much as they are happy? You don't have to give people medicine for that. It's just it's part of being alive. And her kind of argument is like, what about if you're a person who needs a little gray area? Isn't there space for that?
This musical also represents Trinity Rep's first collaboration with Community Music Works. That's a music education nonprofit that works with school children in the city. What has that partnership been like, and how did that come about?
this is a wonderful partnership. The violinists and the cello, the strings come from this organization, and they are marvelous musicians, absolute pros. They play with such sensitivity. It's a perfect marriage. And, you know, they're super quick. We had so far about 3 or 4 rehearsal periods with them, and they have been eager to sort of experience the theatrical presentation. It's new to them, and working with actors and staging and all of that stuff seems to be kind of a great adventure. It really elevates the storytelling to have those strings in the room.
And finally, in working on a premiere, what does it feel like to direct a play that has never been staged before?
It feels stressful, Chuck. No, because, you know, you have to get into the heart and the mind of the writers, because it's the first time it's on the stage, and you want them to feel like their dream is being realized. You know, and fortunately, that's been the case. Both Todd and Sarah have been delighted by what's happening. But, you know, personally, as a professional, I feel a lot of pressure, because you want it to go well, because you want those writers to have want the play to have a life in the future. And so you know, I definitely feel that stress, because if it doesn't go well, then it doesn't get produced again. But fortunately, the audiences have been responding and the writers are very happy. So hopefully it will have a great life ahead of it.
Well, best of luck. And Liesl Tommy, the director of Melancholy Play, a chamber musical at Trinity, thanks for coming in and talking about it.
Thank you, Chuck, for having me.